hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and we have a special treat for you today. We are live today, so it's an exciting hour here on Take Two, and we want you to really participate as we bring on, well, we're going to actually have two guests today, very quick guests. We're going to check in on a conference floor, and then our guest for the rest of the hour. So everybody stay tuned. This is a fun broadcast of Take Two. First, we are going to visit Jack Williams. He's on the conference floor of the 143rd Supreme Convention of the Knights of Columbus. It's live from Washington, D.C., and we're checking in. We can hear the commotion in the background. Hi, Jack. Welcome.
We're about to be descended upon. The opening mass is in the rearview mirror now. That was held at the Basilica of the Shrine of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. So everyone is making their way back to the Washington Hilton, where the first business meeting will get underway here in a little over an hour. EWTN television coverage starting here in about 10 minutes, but they've all gathered for this glorious event where they get together, the Knights of Columbus. I mean, what can you say about the Knights of Columbus? Popes have referred to them as their strong right arm, the oldest fraternal organization for men in the world, and all of the good works that they do are certainly worthy of your attention. And I would encourage any male over the age of 18 who is a Catholic in good standing with Holy Mother Church, if you are not a Knight of Columbus, my question to you is why? Simply go to KOFC.org. That's KOFC.org. And you can find out all the details on how you can get hooked in with a local council. And you can even join the Knights of Columbus online now. So be sure to check it out. Great doings here. And just encourage everybody to be supportive of their local Knights of Columbus Council.
I love your invitation, Jack. My husband, Marty, is a fourth degree knight. My dad was a Knight of Columbus. Jerry Usher is a Knight of Columbus. We love the knights. So, Jack, anything new this year? Because you always give us an update from the conference floor. So I know the convention. We can actually hear it on air. It sounds exciting. So let me ask you this. Anything new this year with the knights?
Well, I'm not going to know that until the Supreme Knight makes his address to the assembled masses, and that'll happen here in a couple of hours.
Okay.
So that will be, as soon as you get done with Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, race over to EWTN Television and watch the Supreme Knight, and then you can tell me what's new this year.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. So you've got the booth, EWTN booth set up, so you'll be broadcasting right from there?
We've got television, we've got radio, we've got marketing, we've got everything here. So everything is set up, ready to go, covering the conference. I'll be recording interviews throughout the day. We'll put together a beautiful special of the highlights of the conference that'll air in a Saturday coming up here in the not-too-distant future. And everything we can do to support the Knights of Columbus, they're worthy of our support.
Absolutely, Jack. And I understand they even got great weather this year.
It's amazing. Low 80s, no humidity, light winds, beautiful sunshine. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable, especially after the big heat wave that hit the East Coast not too terribly long ago. And from what I understand, temperatures in Birmingham, Alabama are in the upper 70s today. Craziness.
Amazing. Well, Jack, we hope you have just a wonderful time with lots of memories and lots of things that you're going to, new people you're going to meet and things you're going to learn and the broadcasting that is being done right there on the convention floor. Anything else you want to share with the Take Two family? Because we're very interested in the Knights. In fact, we love to do anything that the Knights do.
Just the invitation that I offered to you earlier. Go to KOFC.org to find out more. And finish listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and then scoot over to EWTN Television for the coverage of the address of the Supreme Knight.
We will do it. Thanks so much, Jack, for checking in and giving us an update. We really appreciate it. God bless you, too. Thank you. Oh, that was a wonderful treat from Jack Williams, giving us an absolutely, up to date. It's live because the convention is happening right now, folks. The 143rd Supreme Convention of the Knights of Columbus in Washington, D.C. So I love when we get these, moment-to-moment updates and things that are happening, because that keeps us in the know, right? And that's very important. Well, here's something else that we need to know. Well, we need to know about the next book that Father Cedric Pazania is writing. Why? Because he's written over 25 books. He is amazing. He's a radio host, a television host. He's an author. He's a preacher. He's a teacher. And he is a very dear friend of Take Two's. And he's a passionist of Holy Cross Province, the Congregation of the Passion. He is stationed in Houston, Texas. There's so much I want to ask him, because he's coming up on his 20-year anniversary on TBN. And I want to talk all about that. That's next year. That's exciting. And so we're going to go to a break in just about a minute. But I want to say hello to him, because he's been listening to the update of the Knights of Columbus with Jack Williams as well. So welcome back to Take Two, Father Cedric Pazania.
Debbie, it's so good to be with you, and a great big welcome to all your listeners. And I'm so glad to be with you for this hour. We're going to talk about a lot of things that people need to hear.
Absolutely. And so wasn't that a great update from Jack Williams? So you love the Knights of Columbus too.
Yeah, I'm actually a knight, so it's beautiful to hear.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Some of the best people on the planet, and they do such great things for the poor.
You know what?
Yeah, most priests have joined, and the Knights of Columbus are just beautiful in what we do.
I didn't realize that, Father. It clipped out just a little bit, and I will tell you, I didn't realize you were a Knight of Columbus. That's amazing. Another thing that I just absolutely love about you. Okay, so we're going to hit the pause button. When we come back, we'll spend the rest of the hour talking about suffering, right? And that's what you're writing on, suffering. And we're going to I'm going to ask you some of the questions that have come in overnight from the Take Two family. Folks, we are live today, but there's no phone calls today, okay? We will get the phones back. Don't worry. But we need you to get in touch with us a couple other ways. You can email us take2@ewtn.com. You can go onto the chats, YouTube, Facebook, put it in the chats, and Rich will pick it up right there. Michael's at the controls, doing a fine job. And the other way to reach us is texting. If you want to talk about something or ask Father Cedric about suffering, text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your question for Father Cedric. Just know that message and data rates may apply. We're going to learn a lot about how to cope and how to get through suffering when we come back. So glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Couple ways you can reach us in the chats on YouTube and Facebook. Please put your comments in there and Rich will retrieve them. You can also email us take2@ewtn.com. And then I shared the texting way, which is super easy, very convenient, very fast. And we'll get your questions in to Father Cedric Pazania as soon as they come in. And you text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question for Father Cedric. And just know that message and data rates may apply. Michael will grab those as well, and we will add them into this discussion. We will have the phones back, guys, so don't worry about that. I'm already getting messages. You want to call in because it's Father Cedric. I understand that. And we'll have Father Cedric back. He's a friend of Take Two's. No worries. Okay, but before we get into our discussion about suffering, I wanted to share with our listeners, EWTN has its own official YouTube channel with tens of thousands of videos covering just about every conceivable topic of interest to Catholics. And best, and actually this is best of all, it's free. Every day, EWTN adds new radio and TV shows, live events, devotionals, homilies, and specials to its YouTube channel. When you go to YouTube, just search EWTN. Okay, so Father Cedric Pazania, a Passionist priest, he's an author, he's a radio host, television host. He's a preacher. He's a teacher. He's a retreat master. I mean, he is amazing how many things he can do and he has done for us. Well, he's writing another book on suffering. Father, first and foremost, why did you pick the topic suffering?
I try in my ministry to reach out to all people. And one common theme that I have noticed, I'm a parish missionary, and I've noticed that I wade into a sea of suffering. Everybody is going through something. And I want to try to address this issue because it's something that's been common to the saints. And even Jesus, of course, learned obedience through his suffering. And I suffer, Debbie, I know that you're going through some suffering. Mm-hmm. And I want to try to address it, and especially this whole topic about meaning. So I call the book Thorns Have Roses. Most people say that roses have thorns, and I want to say that thorns have roses. So that's the title of the book. And basically, the theme has to do with that somehow, some way, there is meaning in your suffering. I can give you truthful perspectives, but you have to discern the meaning of your suffering for yourself. And I bring that out in my book. My book is about halfway written. I'm continuing to work on it. I should have it by the beginning of this year, but I have of next year. But I have other books too, like Real Life, Real Issues, Real Solutions, where I talk about anger and grieving and depression, things that people are going through. So yes, that's why I brought this up, because my ministry tries to be very practical and reach out to people where they're struggling.
Mm. I loved how you flipped the title, Thorns Have Roses. And I heard a little rumor, Father, that this could be your bestseller. Is
well,
that true?
I'm hoping. Just, in terms of reaching out to people, that's my whole goal. I really want to bring medicine to their souls. And when we talk about thorns, I bring out in my book that Paul the Apostle had a thorn in the flesh, and he begged God to take it away 3 times, and God did not. Rather, God said that my grace is sufficient for you, and that my power is made perfect in your weakness. And that's something that we have to understand. If you remember, at the fall of human beings, there were thorns and thistles, and you remember Jesus was crowned with thorns. So I bring that theme of thorns out and suffering out in many ways in the book. And yes, thorns do have roses.
So if this does, you're going to be able to have it out next year, early next year, I think that's what you said. And then if this is your best-selling book of all time, and you've written over 25 books, that is pretty amazing. So you're just getting better and better as each book comes out. Are you getting more energy behind it? Yeah.
Yeah, I just think as I've gone on in ministry, I've been a priest now for 34 years. I've been a religious. I'm a passionist. And that is our vow, to meditate upon the passion of Christ. And as I've done this for all these years, of course, you gain stories, you gain wisdom, you gain experience. And now I'm going to bring that to this book. And I really think it's going to be medicine for people's soul. It's called Thorns Have Roses. And yeah, it's going to be good. And I've really enjoyed writing it so far.
That's amazing. And so if you're interested when this book comes out, but Father has a ton of other books, you can go to EWTNRC.com. Just type in the search button, Father Cedric Pazania, and you up will come all of his books, all of his products. It's amazing. So that's at EWTNRC.com. Or you can go to FatherCedric.org. That's his website, and it's a lovely website. It is so easy, user-friendly. I love whoever did your website, Father, they did a fine job. It's so easy to navigate. Thank you so much for doing that for us when we're trying to search for items. So I'm sure that Thorns Have Roses, when it comes out, we predict the next bestseller will be a wonderful addition to your website, and people can order. But Father, let me rewind just a little bit. I noticed on your website this morning, I kind of check it from time to time, and I noticed that you're coming up on your 20th anniversary on TBN. Is that true?
Yeah, Trinity Broadcasting Network is the Protestant EWTN, and I've been on airing with them for almost 20 years, as well as diocesan stations and EWTN for about 10 years. Just really quickly, EWTN is has my TV program on Sunday mornings at 9:30 Eastern. And then I have a radio program on EWTN Sunday evenings at 8:30 Eastern. I hope people will tune in. But TBN is the Protestant network, and I'm the only Catholic priest on there. I'm reaching out to people that don't know Catholics very well. And one of the reasons why I think TBN has me on is because I preach the gospel, and I preach it very simply, and I relate to people and what they're going through. And if the ratings weren't good, believe me, I would not be on TBN. But they have embraced me. They've kept me on. And I enjoy reaching out every Sunday morning on TBN at 7 a.m. Eastern and EWTN at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on television. It's such a joy.
I remember years ago when a dear friend asked me if I knew who you were, and they sent me a picture of you. You know, they texted a picture and they said, "Do you know this priest? He's a Catholic priest." And I said, "Wait a minute, he's on TBN." And I said, "I watched you years ago," and I was thinking that is hilarious. And I was so proud that you were able to do that, Father. That you were able to really have that. It's such an ecumenical statement that you're making by doing that, and they embraced you, and you've been there now for almost 20 years. And so thank you for doing that, because I'm just humbly saying this, I think you represent the Catholic faith so well, and I love that it's you, because you're so nice to talk to. People like to be around you. You're easy to talk to. Your pastoral way is just amazing, and I hope they appreciate that. It sounds like they do, since they've kept you for 20 years.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much. You're so kind. But I think Vatican II instructed us that we are an ecumenical church in terms of reaching out to all, and that they have some, they being the Protestants, they have some aspect of truth. We believe that Catholicism has the fullness of truth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're all going to be together in heaven, and why not reach to everybody? And there's a lot of fallen aways. There's a lot of used to be Catholics that watch TBN, and there's a lot of people that don't go to church that watch TBN and EWTN. So I'm trying to use every vehicle possible to reach out with the gospel. And I'm doing it with also secular stations. I'm on in New York, in Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, New Orleans, on secular stations, because, and I pay for that so that I can reach out, especially to those who have fallen away from the faith, those who have not yet come to faith in Jesus. And I believe that the message that God has given me relates to people and will draw them in. We are fishers of men and women.
Wow. Well, we're already getting comments. They wanted to know your TV program on EWTN. So Father Cedric Pazania's TV program on EWTN is 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Sundays. And the radio side of it is 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on EWTN radio. So remember, Jack Williams was saying right after take two, head over to EWTN television to check out the Knights of Columbus convention that's happening right now in D.C. So that's exciting, too. Lots of things are happening on radio and television, Father. So thank you for taking advantage of that. I think John Paul, too, would be very proud of you, because that's what he said to do, to get the gospel message out there. So that's
wonderful. Yes, that's the new evangelization. And that's what I so appreciate about you, Debbie, as a woman, as a laywoman, as a Catholic laywoman. And you are fully invested in evangelization and the new evangelization through media, through radio, and myself through radio and television. It's just beautiful, and we are reaching many people.
Oh, thank you, Father. Okay, our first question came in from AB on YouTube, and the question is, Father, we're talking about suffering today, folks. So if you just tuned in, Father's writing a new book, Thorns Have Roses. That's the title of the book. It'll be coming out soon. And so we asked for questions on the chats and from texting and from emailing. So do that, please. We are live today on this beautiful Tuesday. So make sure you stay tuned in the entire hour so you can learn something about how to get through suffering. Okay, AB asked this question, Father. Is it better to suffer in silence if external factors are causing it?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. I think suffering in silence can deepen you, and certainly you come to God in prayer. But sometimes it's a witness to other people when you suffer and you tell them what you're going through. And Debbie, most people don't know this, but you've suffered with some eye ailments, and you probably haven't told anybody because you're so humble. But I love what you're doing, even though you're suffering. And to me, that is such a great witness of your relationship with Jesus. And I've gone through some sufferings too, like hip operation, knee operation. I've had cataract surgeries and various other things. and it can be a witness to people how you handle your sufferings. I think about my dad, for example. I'm a junior, Cedric Jr., Cedric Pisania Jr., grew up in Massachusetts, and my father has passed away. He's been gone about 25 years now, but he actually was in the Navy in the Second World War, and long story short, he was disabled. Something flew into his eye while he was on one of these communication vessels, and it blinded him, and the best surgeons tried to help him, and it didn't work. He was blind in one eye because of this. He was a disabled vet. And when he got out of the military, he became a carpenter with one eye. Most people can't do it with two eyes, but he had this beautiful gift of carpentry. I used to work with him as a teenager and help build garages and breezeways, and he would do this. He was a craftsman. He would actually do some tabernacles and altars. And I couldn't help but notice because one of his eyes wandered that he was disabled. And I talked to him about it, and he told me the story. He never complained. Mm-hmm. And then he took his disablement and he made something of it. That's called being other-abled. And so many people that I've met in life have gone through tragedies and hurts and sufferings, and they bear it so well, and they have become great people who have accomplished and been fruitful in their sufferings. And that to me is such a witness about how God works through the thorns of our life to make us fruitful and to make us really champions. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. So he didn't promise us that we would be exempt from sufferings, but he promised us that we would be strong in our sufferings. And I think about Paul the Apostle with a thorn in the flesh, and God said that my grace is made perfect in your weakness. So there's so many examples, and I know many of your listeners are heroes and heroines because of what they've gone through. People that work with their husbands and wives, even though they are disabled, they don't abandon them with their parents. This is something that baby boomers are going through right now. Aging parents and bearing with them and being patient. And so, yes, we can go through silently, but we can also be a witness as people see what we're going through and how we bear it.
Wow, those are powerful words by Father Cedric Pisania. He is a fan favorite of Take Twos. You guys keep asking, when is he going to come back? Can we have Father Cedric on again? Well, he's here today, and he's taking your questions by chat and by text and by email. So, and I also have a list of questions that folks sent to me last night through Facebook for you, Father, more on suffering, because Father is writing another book. What would this be, 26, 27? What? How many books? I know it's over 25.
Yeah. This would be number 26, and I'm telling you, I feel the movement of the Holy Spirit on this book, because people need to understand what suffering is. We have been redeemed by suffering. We weren't redeemed by pleasure or comfort. We were redeemed by the sufferings of Jesus. And this is such an important thing. As I'm writing the book, it's coming to me more and more. And if you look at the saints, take your favorite saint, and you will see that every saint has suffered in tremendous, most of them in very deep ways. I take, for example, St. Francis of Assisi, one of my favorite saints. Mm-hmm. And he passed away, I think it was age 45. He was not a priest. He didn't think he was worthy to be a priest. St. Francis of Assisi was a deacon. Mm-hmm. Well, he suffered greatly. He was short, wasn't all that good looking, went through all kinds of tribulations. But anyway, I'll give it back to you, Deb.
Well, you know what? Let's pick up there. We'll talk about St. Francis of Assisi and more saints and suffering as we continue our wonderful conversation with Father Cedric Pisania. Please send in your comments via chat and email and text. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back. Lots of exciting things are happening at EWTN. And here's another wonderful shout out. Congratulations going out to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating an incredible 20 years with us. The St. Gabriel Radio has three stations serving Columbus, Portsmouth and Athens, Ohio. Congratulations to Bill Messerly and his great team at St. Gabriel Radio from your friends here at EWTN. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off before the break and kind of rewind a bit with Father Cedric Pazania. He was talking to us about giving us an example of the great Saint, St. Francis of Assisi. So, Father, I'm sorry we had to cut in the middle of what you were sharing with us about this great saint, but please continue because St. Francis of Assisi comes up a lot when we are doing Take Two, and our listeners love him so very much. A lot of them have statues and outdoor garden statues and all sorts of things of St. Francis. So please share.
St. Francis of Assisi is the universal saint and arguably probably the most well-known saint of all of them. But as I was saying, he suffered and passed away at age 45. He was a deacon. He was being blind when he passed away. And he just went through a lot of pain and suffering. But there was this deep union with Jesus crucified. He bore the stigmata. If you know what the stigmata is, the very wounds of Christ, Padre Pio, of course, did. Wanted to share quickly, we're talking about the suffering of the saints because no one is exempt. In fact, sometimes you get suffering to make you holy. That's going to be one of my meanings of suffering brought out in the book. Be holy as I am holy, God says, and in that whole sanctification process. Holiness, of course, being separated from evil, being united with God through suffering. Wanted to talk about our founder. I'm a passionist religious and priest. Passionists were founded in the 1700s by St. Paul of the Cross. He lived in Italy in the 1700s. Very similar to the Redemptorists, were called Passionists, founded in Italy, 1700s. St. Paul of the Cross, or Paul Danio, was a mystic and spiritual director and a preacher, meditated upon the Passion of Christ. That is our vow, our first vow, along with poverty, chastity, and obedience. Our first vow is to meditate on the Passion of Christ. Proclaim the meaning of Jesus' sufferings to all. Of course, it means God's love for us. But St. Paul of the Cross, while a mystic and he had these great visions and God touched him with a lot of consolation in his prayer life, about the last 20 years of his life, and by the way, he lived to be 81 years old, so he knew suffering simply by old age. Those of you who are a little bit older know suffering very well. And suffering and growing older isn't for sissies, that's for sure. But anyway, last 20 years of his life or so, he suffered from what's called desolation. He had a very dry prayer life. But what made him a saint was that he continued in his prayer, not just for the good feelings, but because and out of his love for God. And that's what happens sometimes. Suffering can be physical, it can be mental, it can be emotional, it can be relational, but it can also be spiritual. And God understands, sometimes he actually withdraws the feelings, and I talk about this in one of my books on prayer. My book on prayer is called The Sacred Quest. He actually withdraws feelings so that you will love God, not the feelings. And really, the sainthood and the holiness comes by praying and staying persistent, as Jesus taught us, not just because we feel it, but because we love God. And really, if you want to be a mature Christian, sometimes God will withdraw those feelings. And then I also wrote a book called Seasons of Life. And I want to say that in our spiritual life, we go through seasons. Sometimes we'll have consolation, sometimes desolation, sometimes a little of both. There are different seasons. So if you're in a season of desolation right now, God is trying to grow you up. He's trying to mature you. It's not all about feelings. I always say that feelings are fickle. Faith is forever. But God is at work. And the desert, sometimes people will say, oh, I feel like I'm in a desert. The desert was the place of revelation in the Old Testament. That's where God revealed himself to people, in the desert. And the same thing, sometimes it's in the thorns of life that the grace comes.
It's so interesting you're saying it, you're sharing this, Father, about consolation, desolation, being in the desert. It's so interesting how you were describing it, because I was trying to, you brought up my eye issues that I've been struggling with since last year. And Father, just full disclosure, because the Take Two family knows me very well. I mean, I put it out there on radio, you know, on Facebook, anywhere I could for prayers, because I really needed the prayers, because I was feeling that strange kind of, I didn't know what was happening, but so I did ask for a ton of prayers, but you're right. I tried to endure as much of it as I could by myself. A lot of people didn't realize that when I went into the first surgery, I was 85% blind when I went into the first surgery, and I was still doing the radio show, still doing everything. It was very difficult, but it and through the grace of God, I got through it. But Father, it's so interesting. You shared this with our listeners, and I hope that the Take Two family is really tuning in right now and listening clearly. Father, I just want you to restate it again. You are saying in essence that when somebody is going through a suffering and they're in the deepest, portions of that suffering period of their life, and they stay faithful and they stay connected to God, it can bring the most, insights, enlightenment, transformation, growth, right, Father? And the reason why I say that real quickly is that's what happened to me when I was almost, completely blind. And it was a shock. I mean, I went from having, perfect eyesight all the way to going blind. The things that God revealed to me, Father, it was mind blowing.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, Debbie. And you're such a witness, because I knew you were going through some hard things. And yet there you were every day, enduring, persevering, courageously. And that's exactly what God wants. He wants virtue from us, character. He wants to build us up. He wants us to be courageous. I think about myself, for example, when I was a teenager, just getting into high school, I started going through panic attacks, and I never had those before, anxiety attacks. And it happened to me when I was a freshman in high school. Everybody looked so much bigger. Even the girls were taller than me. I'm 6'2 now, but I wasn't so big back then. And I guess I was intimidated by everything. And I was in English class, and we were all just reading publicly. And right in the middle of all that, right in front of all my students, my classmates, I had a panic attack where I couldn't read because I was out of breath. And then it happened all the time. That was the start of it. And I had anxiety. I had fear. And then when I got into college, I felt God calling me, anointing me with the Holy Spirit. And I wish He just took the fear away. But what I had to do is I had to face my fears. Mm-hmm. And I gained courage, and I gained fortitude, and I gained virtue through the suffering. God didn't take it away, but He used it. I have a saying that God writes straight with crooked lines. God writes straight with crooked lines. I think you've probably all heard that before. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. With the crooked lines of my life, God wrote straight. And that's why one of the reasons I think God has opened the door for me to be on television and radio is because He admires my courage, because I didn't give up. Right. And that's the other thing about suffering. It forces us to make a choice. Not a choice whether or not we're going to suffer, although you should try to alleviate any of the sufferings that you have the best you can. But some suffering is permanent, some suffering is chronic, and you don't have a choice toward that. But you do have a choice about how you're going to live and how you're going to handle it. And we've all heard this, you can either be bitter or better. And I have a lot of those sayings. You can turn your hurts into halos, and your adversities can be advancement. Your problems can lead to promotion. You can either have a tombstone or a stepping stone. So I got a lot of those mm-hmm. in my book. But anyway, suffering is vitally important, and it does lead to transformation, and it can be a witness to those around us.
Right. Well, that's what I said at the beginning of the show, Father. I feel like, as you've done the TV programs, you continue to do it. It sounds like you're gaining, more energy, more momentum. It's moving in your direction, and it's so fast with you. And typically, I mean, with all due respect, I'm going to be 60 years old this year, so I can say this. You would think that, as you approach those senior years, you would kind of maybe slow down a little. You're actually picking up, which is amazing, and that's what I'm saying. saying, I think the Holy Spirit's got your back, Father.
Oh, you're very kind. But I think about that psalm. One time I was on a retreat and when I was young, and I was very passionate, very energetic when I was as a young preacher. And I remember going on a retreat and I prayed and I said, you know, Heavenly Father, people like me because I have a lot of energy and a lot of passion. But what's going to happen when I get older? And am I just going to kind of fade into the woodwork? And I was brought to a psalm, I think it's Psalm 1 or 2, where it said that the righteous planted beside the water course will bear fruit in their old age, and there will be sap and fruitfulness. And I claimed that. I said, that's what's going to happen. I'm afraid, but I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to trust God. And I think it's the same for everybody. God gives an anointing for older age and gives you energy, gives you passion, and you don't have to give up.
Right. And don't give up. Keep going. Persevere to the end. Run the good race. Right, Father?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, you gain experience. You gain wisdom. You grow in age, grace, and wisdom. Age is simply a time to experience life and learn. I speak about it all the time. Live and learn. And that's so true.
Right.
And now that's why when I'm writing this book, I have so many more experiences. But before we forget, I have to tell you that I've written a book about change, and it's called You Can Change. And to me, this is another one of the meanings of suffering. We've already discussed a bunch of them, but one of the meanings of suffering is that it transforms us. You talked about that some, Debbie, and how you've gone through some transformation. The symbol of that, of course, is the butterfly. This little caterpillar will crawl up a tree, spins a chrysalis. Inside the chrysalis, inside that hard shell, transformation takes place. He doesn't like it, but he's in it, and he's transformed into a butterfly. And then he pecks his way out of that chrysalis, and then he can fly. That chrysalis is hard. It's like a shell. It's the suffering. He doesn't like it, but it helps him to be transformed. Similarly, for all of us, when it comes to change, personal change, the great story that Jesus told, arguably his greatest parable or story, that's the prodigal son. And if you remember, the prodigal son was happy, and it was the life of the party, and he had a lot of money, took the inheritance, and he was having all these good times. And then the money ran out, and he had to get a job, tragedy of tragedies. And he ends up slopping with the pigs in the mud. Then, with the stinky situation he was in, he comes to his senses. And that's what suffering can do. So I call it suffering is sobering. Mm-hmm. It brings us a new awakening, a new awareness. It has in my life. Hopefully it will in other people's life. And he goes back to the Father, to his Father, and is accepted. After his sufferings, he realizes that he needs to make a move. And that's exactly what can happen. Suffering, our suffering can be a catalyst to bring us closer to God and to bring transformation in our life. Very practical example. Do we have time right now, or do we have to go to
go
a break?
Go right ahead. No more breaks. We're going to finish the show. So you go ahead.
Well, a very practical example I've done, and I wrote a book on it called There Is a Solution. I've done ministry in the 12-step program. And when I first was a seminarian, I wasn't very familiar with the 12-step program. But here in our retreat center here in Houston, we're a mecca for the 12-step program, which is Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, all the anonymous programs, as well as Spouses of Alcoholics, which is Al-Anon. And I wasn't very familiar with the lingo or what this whole thing was about. But as I came to understand, it's a very Catholic spirituality. In fact, Father Ed Dowling got with Bill W. in the beginning. He was a spiritual director for him, and he was a Jesuit. And some of the Jesuit spirituality has been put into the 12-step program, such as surrender to God, surrender to the care of God, which is the third step. After you admit that you're powerless, after you believe that God has the power, you surrender to the care of God. Well, my point is that in the 12-step program, the catalyst of change is some type of a bottoming out that a person will go through. Maybe they drink too much and they get sick. Maybe they get liver disease. Maybe they get into an accident or a fight or a blackout or they scream at their wife or children or hit them or abuse them. So they have some type of a bottoming out that awakens them to the fact that they need to be in recovery. Another suffering that can occur is something called an intervention. An intervention is with family members or friends of that person confront that person with their behavior. And that's a deep suffering for the person. It's very embarrassing, very shameful. Yet that intervention oftentimes can lead to recovery. So my point is that suffering in all of our lives can be a catalyst for personal change and lead us even to conversion mm-hmm. and transformation. So suffering actually takes the role of something beautiful.
Yeah. I take back what I said earlier in the show, Father. I said that this Thorns Have Roses, and that's coming out soon, maybe your all-time bestseller. I think all of your books are bestsellers. I'm just saying. I'm going to say all of them are.
Well, everybody
needs,
so much.
Well, yeah, everybody needs to get all 26. We'll have a whole library of Father Cedric Pazania. I love it. Father, real quickly, before we get to more of the questions that are coming in on social media, Mary Beth from Long Island, New York, she had asked this question, Father, and it's you've been touching upon it, talking about suffering, but she said, could you ask Father to expand on Romans 8:28 and how that scripture verse can apply to suffering in our lives, past suffering and mistakes? And Romans 8:28, for those that are listening, it's the scripture passage that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So she's really tapping into this idea of past suffering and mistakes, Father.
Well, that's a hub verse, and I talk about it in my book. I say a hub verse, it's like the axle on a car, Romans 8:28. And if you, God makes all things work to good, we've been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. That's what Romans 8:29 says. And think about the potter and the clay. I remember one time I went down to Mexico, and I went to one of these potter stores or shops, and I looked behind the screen or behind the curtain, and there was a potter at work, and he didn't even know I was watching, but you could see him. He was so concentrating on his work, and the clay was spinning, and he was working with it, getting dirty, getting muddy in his work, and then he produced something very beautiful. It's the same way in our life. God is the potter and we are the clay, and God is at work for good through the sufferings. One thing that has not been brought up is, why do good people suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't think that God gives us the suffering per se, although he is sovereign. There's something called his permissive will. He allows suffering for a particular reason, and somehow, some way, he's at work for good, transforming us in the suffering. And yeah, it hurts to be molded into shape. Think about Michelangelo and the great works that he's done, and the beauty that as he chips away the pieces, you know, that kind of a thing. And then I think about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph in the Old Testament was really rejected by his own brothers and thrown into a pit and sold, and they took him to Egypt. And he suffered greatly in Egypt and almost was forgotten. Actually, he was in prison for 13 years. I can say that in a different way. 13 years he was in prison. And finally, through a dream and through God's grace, he was promoted to be the governor of Egypt, and a great famine broke out. And now his brothers are bowing before him, not realizing that this was his brother, Joseph, who had become the governor of Egypt. And what Joseph said very nobly, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And that's exactly what happens in our life. God somehow, some way, through his providence and through his sovereignty, uses the evil and the suffering in our life to bring it for good. God writes straight with crooked lines. Then, I think about Job and the sufferings. You want a book in the Bible about suffering, read the book of Job. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, Job went through unjustly. He went through all this suffering and all these trials. His own wife said, Job, curse God and die. I think that's so funny, but he didn't. He said, rather, I know my Redeemer lives. And that's mm-hmm. such a beautiful verse from the book of Job. Job allowed what he went through the evil in his life to transform him, and God eventually gave him double for his trouble.
Yeah.
And in our life, we may not receive that here on earth, but certainly after we die, we will be ushered into heaven, into paradise, or purgatory, which is a place of grace, where God will transform us even more so that we will be worthy of heaven. So yeah, God does make good work for those who love mm-hmm. him, and we are being transformed into the image of Christ, and that's one of the roles of suffering.
Mm-hmm. Well said, as always, Father Cedric. You're amazing. You can find Father Cedric on his wonderful, it's kind of a newly designed website, I believe. Father, wasn't it just a few, maybe?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's gorgeous.
Yes, I was one of the architects of that. It's www.fathercedric.org, FRCedric, CEDRIC.org. And what I wanted to have front and center on the website were my TV programs. So you'll see side by side TBN's episode, EWTN's episode. Then we have prayer requests, we have podcasts, we have a daily blog, we have a store, place that you can donate. This website is second to none, and we designed it with a friend of mine who is a web designer, and I really like what we have out there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the face of my ministry. And I have a saying for my ministry that fits in with what our discussion. It's kind of the motto. Well, my motto is touching life, saving souls. But the saying that I wanted to run by you was, who we are is God's gift to us, mm-hmm. but who we become is our gift to God. I'll say that again. Who we are is God's gift to us, but who we become is our gift to God. And that's the foundation of our ministry. And we become by our sufferings, by bearing them nobly, by living with passion, that's the name of my television program, by enthusiastically being creative, by becoming a person of virtue, by working on our spiritual life, trying to get intimate with God. And our life right now is all about transformation and becoming the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, I'm going to try to squeeze in another question about those who watch and take care of others who are suffering. How can they find, you know, their strength and their meaning and the graces that come from that? So hold on with that, Father. Let me do a couple of announcements for our wonderful Take Two family. EWTN offers the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel live every morning, 8 Eastern Time. And we can send a link to the Mass every day. Visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. I get the link in my email inbox. It's fantastic. So guys, if you can't physically make it to Mass, EWTN has you covered. Coming up tomorrow in the same, we're kind of doing the same topic, the same path on this. And so a better understanding, another best-selling author, Gary Zimak, is going to be with us tomorrow. He's the author of Giving Up Worry for Lent. He's written a new book called Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. So Gary Zimak will continue this topic tomorrow on Take Two. We will be live, still receiving your emails, your chat comments, and your texting for Gary Zimak. He's coming back to Take Two. He hasn't been back in a while. That's tomorrow. Today, we're finishing with Father Cedric Pazania. Father, I'm going to see if I can squeeze this in, but you're going to have to go really quickly. How does one who is taking care of somebody who's suffering, they love them so very much, they want to be able to do it well and to endure it well, what do you say to them?
You can do it in God's strength. That's what I would say. This is the affliction right now of baby boomers. Baby boomers, people in their 50s, 60s, mostly 60s and 70s now, are going through, if their parents are still alive, taking care of their parents. And there's a lot of guilt about this because they feel like they're not doing it correctly or whatever. And I remember when I was taking care of my mom lived to be 90 years old, and you know, they start to get a little bit of dementia or a little bit of Alzheimer's, and they're not the person that you grew up with, and it's testing your patience. But patience comes by endurance. It comes by hard situations. We get patience by doing patience. We get virtue by doing virtue. And God will help us with that, but it, for one thing, it holds up a mirror to ourselves. What type of a person are we when we're faced with difficulty, when we're faced with tribulation? And remember, nobody's exempt from this, but you can do it. You can do it with God's strength, and God is at work transforming us. God is the potter, and we are the clay, and He uses our relationships, He uses our experiences, and He uses our personal life to transform us. It is very incarnational. Yes. God is not just out there somewhere. God is really at work. I like to say in an intimate, intricate way. If you read Psalm 139, it talks about how close God is.
Right.
He knows when we sit, when we stand. He knows every word on our lips.
Father, you hear the music. I wish we had another hour, but we don't. Hopefully you'll visit Take Two again. Father, very quick blessing for all of our Take Two family.
Heavenly Father, I lift up the listeners to you, and I know that many of them are going through great tribulations and great sufferings. May they sense your grace, and may you bring roses out of their thorns. And I ask your blessing upon all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Cedric Pazania. You guys, check out his website, fathercedric.org. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. The Take Two family loves you. More questions are coming in, so we'll have you back soon. For the rest of the Take Two family, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.